Hey, Riff, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Video games hot dog.
Video games hot dog who?
Yeah, but fuck. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And this is Video Games Hot Dog. How's it going, guys? Seventh episode. What's that all about?
Hell yeah.
It's like an entire week of Video Games Hot Dogs.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
What have you guys been up to?
I killed some orcs. I didn't actually kill any orcs.
Not in real life.
Yeah, I was. Yeah,
you were in Mordor.
I was. I didn't just simply walk there.
No. Cruise.
He took a train.
Yep.
What about you, Riff? What dumb joke are you gonna make?
I got nothing. I was not prepared to make a joke.
You didn't know we were recording a podcast tonight.
Yeah.
I've been filling out a bunch of forms.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Pro forma. I don't even know what pro forma means.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Prilosec.
Prilosec. Yeah.
Van Gogh Batasan.
Perfunctory.
And this has been your dictionary podcast.
Are you are you sending them to functionaries? Comic Con functionaries?
Comic Con functionaries, yeah. A lot of them.
Are they functionaries or flunkies? Or flunctionaries?
Maybe.
Henchmen.
I had to send away for a bunch of forms from the city of Phoenix to tell them that I didn't need to fill out those forms. I literally had to check a box that said I don't need to check out the filled. I filled out four forms today where I checked a box that says I do not need to fill out this form, signed it, put it in an envelope.
I mean, to
thank
be
you
fair,
for your cooperation,
the city of
citizen.
Phoenix did recently hire Douglas Hofstadter as their chief bureaucrat. So,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, because right. They kept sending me angry letters about how I had not filled out these forms, and I said I don't need to fill them out, but I guess send them to me. And then I got them. I was like, check, I don't need to fill this out. Yeah. Yeah, it's been one of those weeks.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Have you been playing any video games? No, you've just been playing Super Form Fill Out.
Yeah, no, I played one or two video games.
You took notes.
I take notes every week. It shouldn't be new to you.
I kind of want a Super Form Fill Out video game based on the Paranoia universe.
Oh, wow, that'd be cool.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. Have you ever played Paranoia?
I played once.
What security clearance were you?
I don't remember. It was a long time ago. It was fun. The guy would write us notes. He would take us into another room and whisper things to us.
I got a lot of notes that were like, this is just a decoy note.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then I would smile knowingly.
Mm-hmm.
Or laugh out loud. I've been... So you, many months ago, had played a game that I thought looked really cool to me. And I was lamenting that it was not available for Macintosh, which is my computer system of choice. And then on last week's show, somebody just like offhandedly mentioned that it was actually out for Mac. And so I was like,
which one?
Desktop Dungeons.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've been playing the S out of that.
I played it like 12 times, which is like, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours.
A new rule, by the way. We can say fuck, but we have to say the S word.
Okay.
Okay.
Sword?
Snakes?
So Desktop Dungeons.
Yeah.
Sweet math game.
It is. It basically is like a role-playing themed math puzzle, which is just totally up my alley.
Like Sokoban, except...
Yeah. I wonder if every game is
solvable
if you had perfect knowledge, which of course you can't, given the way the game is structured.
The guy that made the game, as far as I know, said that he can beat it like half the time.
I've been doing about half.
Yeah, see, I would say that I can win one out of every 30 games that I play.
I unlocked almost all the standard character classes, and I was going to start working on the...
I don't have the patience for it.
Yeah.
It looks like my kind of game, but it's not.
It is mostly math. Like, it's like, okay, will I be able to kill this guy? What is my best use of resources? And I like kick myself when I like, oh, I didn't need to explore 3 squares. I only needed 1 this turn. I totally wasted those 2 squares of exploration.
Yeah, the way that this works is it generates like a dungeon and it puts some monsters in it, and you've got some abilities and stuff, and the only way that you can recover HP and MP is by revealing map squares.
That is the primary way. It's not the only way.
They're potion. You can get some potions and stuff too. Yeah. But primarily, it is a game of figuring out on this one screen how to level up your guy enough to kill the boss without getting killed by the monsters. And you
the game is remarkably well balanced in my experience. Like, I have regularly gotten to points where like, I'm like 1 or 2 points away from being able to kill this guy, or I'm 1 or 2 points away, like I'm 1 or 2 points over being able to kill this other guy, and like regularly just being right on that line throughout the whole arc of the game, you know, with like guys at my level or like one above or whatever, because you get significant bonuses for being able to kill stuff out of your level range, and so that's kind of the whole game is like figuring out how early you can defeat stuff and like what resources you have to do it.
I mean, this game is fun for you, but you will often just sit around doing algebra flashcards. Like yes. that's foreplay for you, is you have your girlfriend do some algebra flashcards for you.
Yeah, but she's
they're like flash cards whenever you
right.
It's whenever like, it's like whenever script, you get one right, cards. She plays another few seconds of the Flash Gordon DVD that is in your computer
boudoir
and in your boudoir, yeah, boudoir.com, and then you get an erection by looking at the rippling flesh of Flash Gordon, of course.
Did
you ever see the movie Flesh Gordon?
I don't think I actually saw Flash Gordon.
I don't know that it was actually porn. It was definitely like a silly movie. There were asteroids that were like butts in space that would fart these big clouds of gas that would destroy the ship.
Huh.
So they had to avoid the asteroids.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I mean, it's definitely below what you would expect from the movie Flesh Gordon.
Sure, sure. I just assumed it would just be standard porn, like on a spaceship or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that game is great. I played that some, and then the other game I played was called Tech Support for My Mother, which was I played a marathon stretch of 3 hours of it last night and nearly killed everyone around me. So frustrating. A good 15 or 20 minutes walking her through unplugging her speakers. And it just got worse from there.
Why is that? You know, you don't want to be a bad son.
I don't. And, like, I just knew it was going to be super frustrating. Like, you know, my mom basically wanted to, like, take her computer apart so that she could, like, move out of the place that she's living. And, like, just the awful steps that we had to go through to get everything to like make sense. 3 hours on the phone.
I don't understand how that can take 3 hours. Just unplug everything and then when you put it back together, call me again.
No, but
and
it wasn't.
Then you just are not there. You just don't answer the phone
ever again.
That time, yeah.
No, but it was a little more complicated than that. She had an old computer that she was leaving behind for her roommate, and it was just a mess. It was just a
your
mess.
Mom is a freshman in college.
Yes.
Yeah. Indiana State.
I'm 4 years old.
I never thought it would happen to me. But Kevin's mom came over with a bunch of USB cables that she tied me to the bedpost with.
She could not, like, she couldn't, I was like, okay, so there's a cable plugged into this thing, and she could, like, not describe to me what the end of the cable looked like, so I had, like, no idea what it was for. It was, like, she's like, it's a thin one. I'm like, what does that mean? Is it rectangular? Is it round? Is it like sort of square? Like trying to think of all the cable endings that I knew about.
Then describe them in words.
Yeah, exactly. And
don't
she's
you
like,
have
it's
that,
gray?
Don't you have that thing where you can run that app on your iPhone and see through your mom's eyes?
I don't. I don't. I should have installed that before trying to do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I finally, like, it took, after hour one and a half, I guess, I finally got her to like start the VNC app and like got the cable modem hooked up on the old computer that she was like leaving behind.
Oh man, what you should have done is had her put in a webcam, hook it up to the screen, and then like move the webcam around. All right, so now the first thing we should do is unplug the webcam. fuck.
Yeah, I thought about that. I thought about like ways to actually like have some sort of streaming video, but nothing was worth the time investment. It took just getting the VNC thing set up was kind of just trying to.
You could have driven to Indiana State University in the amount of time that it took you to explain all this stuff.
Potentially, yeah. If I went really fast, I definitely could have flown there and dealt with it in the time.
That would have been cheap and cost effective too.
Sure,
that's not a game, Kevin. You're just using what you've been playing as an excuse to tell a story and complain
Dirty
about
exploiter.
Your mom. Yeah, that's not what this segment is for, bro.
It was like a game. It was like a really frustrating game.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, here, let me describe something to you in really vague terms. Tell me what to do about it.
So it was like playing the Gostak.
Sure.
The mom yeah. stack.
The mom stack.
Your mom is stacked. What about you, Riff?
Did
you have to help your mom with anything frustrating?
No, fortunately not.
You didn't have to. Did you have to play like Super Mario Brothers co-op with your mom?
No. There's this weird online browser game. I don't know if you heard about it, called Kingdom of Loathing.
Oh, yeah, wow! You see what we did there.
They recently revamped their New Game Plus system, so I've been playing a bunch of that. That's about it. I finished Lego Pirates of the Caribbean. I got 100% on that.
You didn't finish learning how to pronounce Caribbean.
Yeah, I was just about to
Caribbean,
say.
Caribbean, Caribbean.
I think they're both
Doesn't
equivalent.
It go either way? It
does. Well, it's a Caribbean cruise, but a Caribbean island.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
And that's about it.
So if you use one of those little metal clips to put something on your left side, it's a carabiner, and on your right side, it's a carabiner.
I have acquired copies of Monster Tail and L.A. Noir, but I have not played them yet.
I still cannot imagine being even the slightest bit interested in L.A. Noir.
I've heard that it makes old PS3s overheat in conjunction with the new firmware update. But there are other people saying that is nonsense, so I don't know. I may just vacuum out my PS3 before playing it.
Huh. You could put it in the refrigerator.
Yeah. I could put it in, dip it in mineral oil and put it in the freezer.
Okay.
Yeah. Will electronics run under mineral oil?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is an overclock.
Because it's non-conductive?
There was like a super overclocking site I saw once that did that. They had like this tank of mineral oil with all the computer components in it in the freezer with like tubes running to like a fish tank filter so it would cycle the heat through the
mineral oil. Yeah. Wow.
If the mineral is copper, it doesn't work quite as well.
Yep, that's pretty much all the games I've been playing.
Huh.
What about you?
I don't remember, actually. I should have been thinking about what games I
should have
been taking notes. Yeah, I know.
This morning I played
a couple of hours of the new DLC for Fallout New Vegas.
Oh, how does
that? That was pretty cool. There's an Indian guide, and he tells you where things are if you take him up to the top of a mountain.
Does he shed single tears over the state of the land?
Everyone, if you throw something away. Yeah, I haven't actually thrown something on the ground in front of him. I totally should, though. That'd be pretty funny if they built that in. Huh?
Oh, that would be great.
What else?
2D Minecraft.
Yeah, Terraria. I bought that Terraria Minecraft game and put Minecraft Mrs. Garrett edition.
Yeah.
So the crafting is normally like you take the good,
you take the
and
bad.
You take the bad,
you shake them up,
and then you put your left hand in, and then you've made a good bad glove. It's like a platformer Minecraft kind of. It's frustrating. There are just never stop being a million fucking monsters all the goddamn time.
Does it have building as well, or is it just mining?
It has building, and you build, like, a house, and then if your house qualifies as a house, then, like, a nurse will move into it.
Yeah. Serious?
Apparently. I don't know. I haven't had anybody move into it. It starts out, you are in the world, and it spawns this guide. And as near as I can tell, the guide's primary function is to open the doors to your house and let fucking monsters in there to kill you. Yeah, so I don't know, man. You can talk to him.
Are you supposed to bind him to a chair, maybe?
I don't know. You gotta make some rope out of some spider webs.
Yeah.
And, in order to be a house, a building has to be, you know, solid, and it has to have a door, and it has to have a table and a chair, and it has to have light inside it. And then people will move into it, apparently. You'll get a merchant.
I mean, are you building a hotel, or are you building like a house?
You get a nurse. Like, a nurse comes. If you have a gun, you'll get an ammo salesman. Where this stuff comes from. You can make a jetpack. And I guess there seems to be a lot of world in this. It is not nearly as like sort of, it's like the middle of a Minecraft world, but then you go up above where the sky would stop in Minecraft, and there's these crazy floating island worlds that you can get to if you later on get the ability to fly. There are lots and lots of different sort of layers of underworld and stuff. There are crazy underground jungles filled with ruins and treasures and things like that.
That sounds pretty compelling. Is it all interesting content?
It seems like it. I mean, it's very pixel art. You know, it's got a lot of sprites. Oh, speaking of which, I've been playing a lot of that Monster Tail game too. Yeah. But I won't talk about that too much because I think we're going to do it as an assignment once you guys all have a copy of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I keep wanting to play Terraria more, and then when I do, I get kind of bored and frustrated.
Hmm. Like, what is the frustrating part? Are the controls squishy?
The controls are not great because you have to be able to address individual blocks outside of you, right? But it's a third-person game, so you're moving around and you're jumping around, but then you have to like click on specific spots to like place things or to hit specific blocks with your pickaxe or whatever. That seriously, honest to God, the thing that makes me so frustrated with the game is that there never stop being more monsters than you can fucking kill.
Really?
Like, if you are not swinging your sword,
God never burdens you with more monsters.
Three quarters of the time,
God never gives you more ice cream sandwiches than you can eat.
You can't accomplish anything. Like, you know,
have you made the depleted uranium beholder statuette?
I have not.
I think that's your problem.
I need you can build a trap out of ice cream sandwiches to lure
exactly
monsters into it.
Yeah, so I think so you're just not approaching it the right way.
It's just infinitely respawning monsters, and you can't light it up so that you don't get them.
Or? Yeah,
there are blobs around the day though.
There are slimes that can spawn in the light, and they just fucking like
that sucks.
I like went down exploring these caves. It's crazy. It's also sort of tedious to dig down to a cave. It's great if you find one open on the surface, but if you don't and you're just like, oh, I'm just gonna dig straight down and see what I find, it's like, man, that took a long time. But then the cave systems are all really expansive, but I like, you know, as I was playing yesterday, I got to this spot and I'm like, all right, cool. I can see all kinds of minerals and stuff that I can mine down here and then take it back upstairs and see what I can build out of it. But like, there were slimes spawning literally faster than I could kill them. It was like, by the time I got done killing one slime, there were two more slimes coming at me.
Is it possible that you needed to upgrade your gear?
Yes, using the stuff that I could not mine because I was too busy getting attacked by slimes.
Were you trying to mine it or were you trying to mime it?
I was...
So you're miming it now. Yeah, I don't think that's going to help. I think you need to do that in the game.
Okay.
All right.
I'll try and just point. I'll pretend that I'm. If my goal is to pretend that I'm playing a game, this is a great game.
If you pretend that you're inside a box, maybe the slimes can't get to you.
Yeah, the slimes will think, oh, that guy's in a box.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
Have you continued playing Rifts?
I played it a little while yesterday, yeah. What did I play instead of. There was a reason that I didn't play Rift for a while. I don't remember what it was.
It was the New Vegas?
No, that was because that only came out yesterday. What was I playing instead of Rift?
I don't know.
Like, I feel like there wasn't like anything new in World of Warcraft or anything. I think maybe instead of playing Rift, I was just working all the time. But there was something I was playing.
It was kind of a busy week for working.
I was on the PC. I was playing a video game.
Was it at the office or was it at home?
Dwarfs. I think there was a Steam game that I was
Dwarfs?
Playing. Maybe it was Terraria. Dwarfs.
That's like Dwarf Fortress, but slightly
arcade-y Dwarf Fortress.
Have you been? Do you keep up with? You probably don't. I have his
who
the Dwarf Fortress guy's updates on my RSS feed, and he's been working on Necromancers and Zombies. And so he posted a funny update yesterday that he finally got the code working that allowed necromancers to animate individual parts of a person. So he set up two lines of necromancers in the arena and gave them adamantine swords and just told them to run at each other. And they clashed, and then the heads and limbs and severed bodies got up and started attacking until there was just one side left and just limbs and heads rolling around aimlessly around them. Like pets.
That seems like a cool story that it would have been totally inadequately conveyed to the player by some ASCII bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know what happened to me. I used to be all like, graphics don't matter. Then I tried to play Dwarf Fortress and like...
You probably would enjoy NetHack given enough time.
Yeah. No, I love NetHack.
So, but that's... I mean, NetHack. That is representational.
Yeah, but it's not... It's...
the
whenever I
scope is reasonable. Or
whenever
something?
I look at, so there was this Metafilter post about like, hey, check it out. It's like a simpler version of Dwarf Fortress, but it's like Goblin Fort or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I looked at a screenshot and I was like, no, there's just no fucking way. Like once
I mean, I can't do ASCII games really at all. I mean, I once in a while I'll play NetHack, but I download a tile set. And
oh, really?
I download a tile set to play Dwarf Fortress.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
You're all about modding games.
Yeah, I mean, to those. The extent that I like them to look nice when I play them.
You made your own texture pack in Minecraft so that each block was a cock and balls, so you didn't have to
different colored
worry so much about making larger scale cocks and
balls.
That's
true.
I was watching our friend Jenny play some Minecraft, and she downloaded a mod that gave her a bunch of like angled blocks, which to me, for some reason, just kind of violated the whole point of the game. Because, like, in my mind, the idea is constructing stuff out of blocks and maybe half blocks or whatever, but basically just blocks to try to be representative of what you want. And having the ability to actually have, like nice sort of rounded corners on things just kind of seems, for me, for whatever reason, I feel like it just kind of violates the whole point.
Yep. I agree with you.
And yeah. I don't, but that's like a weird aesthetic thing that I can totally see other people being like, you're crazy. You
but
know?
Riff probably likes it because you can make veins.
No, I have to
on
side with Kevin. The
giant
I like the veins to be square.
The one thing that it had that I thought was really awesome and would be a great addition was the glass blocks with slight tints to them. So you could have
see-through stained glass stuff.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm hoping that they add that.
That is like the colored wool, and it just opens up so many possibilities for construction.
Just dye glass or
yeah, it'd be really neat.
Someday that game will be done.
I don't know.
No, I doubt it.
I think they said that they want to finish what they're going to call the official release.
11-11-11. That just 11. Doesn't mean anything.
But, well, yeah, they're still going
to
continue working on it.
Hey, do you guys
want
to go to Minecraft Con if they have it?
Where would it, be in
Las Vegas? I feel like there's enough.
He wants it to
in
be in
Vegas.
Las Vegas, yeah. I don't, I mean, I
want to
say.
I can't even imagine.
If I was a member.
That, yeah, who would go to that and what would you do?
If I was a member of a Minecraft community, then that might be cool. But
we're enthusiasts, but not.
I don't know. Given what I know about the Minecraft community, I'm glad that you're not enough of a raging asshole to be.
Their forums are really unfriendly.
Yeah.
All the comments on all the, like, hey, check out this calendar I made of all the days Notch has said he wasn't working.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, hey. Wow. Cool.
God. There is a lot of entitlement in the Minecraft player base, and it's really disgusting.
There's a lot of entitlement all over the place.
Sure.
Also, get off my lawn.
Whatever, Sir
Zach. You're not entitled to not having me on your lawn.
Okay, you're right. Didn't earn it.
I did shovel up a giant pile of rotting oranges today.
Oh, that was kind of like playing Minecraft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you build a giant cock and balls out of them?
I didn't. I should have, though. I should have.
Well, I mean, you built several pairs of balls.
I did.
moldy orange fly-covered balls.
I was just so tired of the fruit flies that had managed to weasel their way into the house.
I was gonna play this game. I was harvesting resources to play this game where you pick up a moldy, rotting fly-infested orange, and in the backyard, I've installed these stone hoops on the walls, and if you manage to get one through the hoop, your opponent has to eat it.
Oh.
Those oranges are disgusting to begin with. They were oranges planted from seeds, and so they're not good to eat.
Yeah, I'm assuming that that's what happened because it's like relative to like how apples grow, but I don't actually know if that's true.
Actually, when last time my parents visited, my mother looked up and discovered what breed of oranges she thinks they are, but I don't at all remember.
Really?
But it is a specific...
disgusting, mutant-looking ass
orange. Not good-tasting orange, yeah.
Huh. My assumption was that, like, if you take an apple seed and you plant it, you'll get a tree that has apples that with effectively random qualities, right? Like, they could be, so dense that they're inedible.
They could be bananas.
They could look like bananas. They could, the coloration is
And you
just
would look at it and you would say, this shit is
why
bananas.
Do you... why do you not get apples that are basically the same as the apple you planted?
That's just not how, apples. Kind of plant works.
Yeah. Huh. So all of our, like every Granny Smith apple that you've ever had is actually from a single apple tree that just randomly grew one time.
Oh, and they found just
it.
Been
they realized like that grafted. It was grafted. Tasted.
Like every navel orange is the same tree.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and yeah, so.
So I'm assuming
welcome
that
to
that's
a botany hot dog.
Yeah. I'm assuming that's how, what happens with oranges as well, but I don't know.
Oh man, could you imagine if you planted an orange seed and then a tree grew that had hot dogs on it?
Yes. I can imagine that.
In the bun with mustard and sauerkraut.
Okay, I'm having a harder time. Yes.
I don't actually think that's any less plausible, Kevin.
Hot dogs can be filled with anything.
Of your imagination.
No. Hot dogs can be filled with anything, but then like actually wrapping it in a bun and having
condiments. So hot dogs with cheese embedded in them, you can imagine that.
Not as much.
In a piece of cheese.
No, but I'm talking like an orange puree hot dog.
Oh, like a marmalade verter.
Marmaduke dog.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, so we had an assignment.
Yeah.
It was World of Goo.
Woo.
What'd you guys think?
My dog ate it.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty fun. I beat it all the way through. I beat game all the way through. Yeah.
I got to the last level, the last zone, and it says these last three puzzles are going to be unusually hard, and I went through the first one and I was like, "Oh god, I see how this works, but I
it was like
don't
an inch
want to
worm,
try to
kind
do
of.
It."
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, "Oh.
It wasn't that bad."
I got to the second puzzle in the computer world. And once I understood how it worked, I was just like,
"Oh, that's the one where you have to
I'll do this later.
Shoot the
you have
thing
to corrupt
the...
some of them.
Yeah,
most
yeah.
of them.
Yeah. Most of them. I had corrupted all of them. I was like, "Oh, okay, I get it. I need to."
Oh,
and then I corrupted all of
sucks.
Them, and I made the whole fucking chain and got down to the pipe. And I was like, "Oh man."
Yeah.
I found the game to be it looked really cool, and I really like the personality of it, and
yeah.
I like the flavor of it, and I like the mood, and I like the art, and I like the
writing.
I like
how it controls on the iPad. It feels very natural.
Well, I don't think I like the game.
Really?
Huh.
It is frustrating. It's just, it's...
I definitely enjoyed being able to build stuff. I was frustrated with not knowing when something was getting too big
yeah.
without it just starting to move kind of uncontrollably.
Yeah, there was never a time when those little rewind bugs... helped me
yeah
at all.
Oh yeah
right like if you fuck up you have to start the level over
yeah
like every time and I just I don't
pretty much there were occasionally times when like something catastrophic would happen and you could just rewind once like one bug and it would bring it back but very rarely
this I played it on the iPad before the update that fixed this but it used to be you could very easily hit the fucking bugs when you didn't mean to.
I still did occasionally hit them.
Oh, it used to be much worse.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That was really aggravating,
It was so annoying.
Huh. They...
So annoying.
I was a little dissatisfied with some of the, novel mechanics that they came up with. Like, overall, I was pretty pleased with their level design,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I felt
yeah.
like the levels were... puzzly enough to be like, how do I solve this? And then
and then you see it and you go, oh, that's clever.
But then you actually had to do it, and
yeah.
then and that was still a little bit of a challenge, right? But then like by the computer world, they introduced like mechanics such as like puzzles that just have a bunch of blocks that you have to like maneuver and stack and stuff like that. And I'm like, this is
there is really only one or two of those though.
But like that's just not the way. That's not the game. The game is like all this like goo and stuff, and then all of a sudden there's like these.
Well, the one that introduced the blocks was definitely like that, because that was just playing Jenga in such a way as to get your encapsulated bunch of goo balls to the goal. But the one where you actually had to stack a tower of blocks in such a way that they got high enough up to make a structural support for your goo suspension bridge,
sure.
I thought fit reasonably well.
I don't know. I guess I wasn't sold on a bunch of their like mechanics as it got sort of crazier and crazier. Like the computerized stuff was like, now all of a sudden you can shoot your guys and like that's now a thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't care for it.
But I enjoyed the puzzly aspect of it. They, like, the last three levels were actually kind of great because they got, they were just, they went back to their basics and it was just build a bunch of really crazy tall structures.
I didn't realize that you could skip levels for a really long time. There were a couple of factory levels that I just couldn't beat and I almost quit there because of the ones with the matches just drove me crazy. Huh. Mm-hmm. Like the ease with which you could irrevocably fuck that up.
That's, those are some of the levels where the rewind bugs were actually kind of useful because you could, if something caught on fire, you could hit one or two of those oftentimes and, like, revise.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I always got into these situations where something would be, like, my structure would just get into a really slow oscillation.
Yeah.
And
those were pretty rough.
Oh, man. Probably if I sit here for 15 seconds, this is eventually going to fucking fall over.
Right.
But, like, yeah, I don't know, man.
I love the art direction and character of it, though.
Oh, yeah,
I hope absolutely. He does some more stuff in that vein.
Was there just one guy?
Because I like veins.
There was one guy who did a lot of it, like the story, animation, music, and idea was one guy or something.
And what did the other guy do?
And he's only got two dimensions.
The most of the programming was done by
some
of, like, two or three other dudes.
Gotcha. I don't know how interested I am in the, like, little sort of meta game where you just build as tall a structure as you can out of the goo, because it just seems like...
Yeah. I played it a little bit and, you know...
I mean, it seems like in order to do very well at it, it's going to be real pixel hunty, right? Because it's about getting things as evenly distributed as possible.
It might be. I never got that far. Like, I built the pyramid out of my stuff as high as I could, basically, and then sort of did a tower off the top of the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the top 30,000 out of 3 million or whatever. But I mean, like, I don't know how you would get it much higher, and I bet there were tons that were much higher, right? Yeah. And I don't, like...
I wish you could see them. I wish you could look at other people's structures.
Yeah. Like, that would have been much cooler.
Something. Because then it's like, oh, this is a trick I could use in the actual game for building these things. For whatever reason, the first time I played through it, that windmill level just frustrated the fuck out of me. This time I got right through it.
I found it really frustrating. It took me like an hour.
What the deal was.
And there was another one that used a similar mechanic with balloons and getting over stuff.
So. Balloons, bridges.
You know, it's interesting. Like, I spoke about this a little bit in like the trine thing, where, like, part of me wonders if this is a kind of game that is around because there are these physics engines, right? So, like, the physics engine exists, so, like, how can I use this tool that exists to make a game, as opposed to coming up with a game first and then, do you know what I mean? Like, it's a game to fit an engine rather than,
I mean, like, Doom 3. You know, I mean, like, we made this really cool engine, and then we made a real shitty game to...
Yeah.
Flashlight, am I right? Flashlight.
And I don't know...
This is Video Games Hot Talk 2003, by the way.
I guess I don't know, like, if that's something that is bad, right? Like, you know,
I don't think it's bad. I mean, I would rather live in a world with 1,000 bad video games than a world with no video games, right?
Sure.
I mean, if that's... We learned from our childhoods that if all the video games are bad, then you will continue to play them for months and months until you beat them anyway.
I don't know. I think about, like, Bomberman, right? Super simple, super hard. But, like, I remember just sitting there, like, toggling this, you know, the little thing. There's a controller with a dial.
For listeners, a dial. You're the Kaboom.
Kaboom.
Not Is it not Bomberman?
Okay.
No, Bomberman's a game where you run around in a maze and you throw bombs that explode into pluses, and then I think, I don't know, there's a cat, and...
okay, so Kaboom,
you're thinking
sorry.
Of Kaboom.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the motion that Kevin was making was, I don't know what, it was like tweaking
I was rotating a dial, a paddle.
Yeah. They call that a paddle. Why is that a paddle? That
doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I have
no idea. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. But, like, it would be moving faster than I could see, and I would still sometimes catch all the bombs, right? Like, and
maybe
that just felt really
that's
satisfying.
The control that was used for the Pong paddles.
Why were those paddles?
Because it was imitating tennis.
Yeah.
Table tennis.
Yeah, tennis paddle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is that not a racket? Because it's not strong?
I think it's not strong, yeah.
Okay.
It's not high strong or low strong.
Right. It's not low slung.
Strung up.
Do they make sweet leather holsters for ping pong paddles? I mean, ping pong rackets?
They make those carrying cases, which we saw at the Pong Show.
Yes. The Pong Show.
Pong Show.
That's where you go out on stage and you do an act, and then if they throw a ping pong paddle at you, that means you have to stop doing your act.
Yep.
You got ponged.
Yeah.
So we've decided that next week's assignment is Warcraft 3. So we haven't done a real time strategy game yet. And Warcraft 3 is a pretty good one.
And it's available on every platform, and it's old, so you should be able to get it for cheap.
Yeah, how much did it cost? You just bought it.
I bought it off BattleNet for $20.
$20. And I'm surprised that it was $20.
That is, if you're running an Intel-based Mac, that is probably the simplest way to do it, because that will make sure you have the version of the game that is playable on an Intel Mac.
Is it Warcraft 3 and the expansion?
No, I think Frozen the expansion Throne. is more money.
I have it installed on my machine from ages and ages ago, but it seemed to work just fine. I launched it. It required that I insert the CD.
Did you have it
somewhere? I did.
I probably have the CD. I probably have it installed on my machine, and I probably have the CD.
Yeah. So
I don't know how far we're going to get into it. I'm tempted to, like, cheat.
I've got save games on every level, so I can.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, so I could play a bunch of different levels for a little while.
The ones that are just build a base and kill these other guys that are building a base, I don't know that I believe there's a lot of value in playing more than one of those. The nice thing about StarCraft II was that there was very little of that. You had to do it every once in a while.
Right.
But every time they had you do a level like that, it had been long enough since the last one that a bunch of new units had been introduced and stuff. Man, they just did a good job.
Did you like the size of your unit?
I'm never quite satisfied with the size of them. Although, you know, they're mostly those Herculeses.
Sure.
It's not Hercules. What is it? Thor? What are those things called?
I don't know. I haven't played StarCraft 2, unfortunately.
John Thomas. Yeah, you've been waiting to have time to play StarCraft
2. Yeah, I'm a bad...
Maybe in October I'll play StarCraft 2, you said.
Yeah, I thought that would be the time, but it totally was not.
Cool. Segment.
Bro.
And now for the segment between the assignment and reader mail. What segment is that, Kevin?
The reader mail segment.
And now for the segment between assignment and reader. And now for the segment between the assignment and the reader mail. What is that segment, Kevin?
It's where we talk about interesting things, like video game-related news.
Is there video game-related news?
Sure, there is.
Do we happen to know any of it?
Do you know any of it? Yeah.
No, I haven't actually been following any of it. But we should. We totally should. We could use that to fill this space.
Uh-huh. So now is when we edit something in later that's
funny and amusing.
Cool.
Yep, that's pretty cool.
Hey, Kevin, how about a reader mail segment?
I think we should do something between a reader mail segment and a reader mail segment.
Okay. I forgot to go to the forums.
Like a rock and a hard place.
One time I went to the forums. It sounded like this.
So wait,
funny happened on the way?
Yeah. And where are these forums of which you speak?
You can get to them from videogameshotdog.com. Yeah. But let's read some emails first.
Okay.
Michael Cook writes, I am enjoying your hot dog. Two things. First of all, I was disappointed to see no bisexuality joke last episode. What gives? I come to your podcast for two things. Because nostalgia has an amazing way of biting you on your asses, and because of the bisexuality running joke. That and the great segment, guys, needs to be brought back. I've got a solution for the fourth wall problem. This was a problem you had, Kevin. Each episode, select a name and pretend the audience is called that. Great segment, Brian. That way, somebody gets one hell of a personalized show, and new listeners get an added sense of mystique. Who is this Brian guy? I must know more. Second, seriously, this is a great podcast. Somebody recommended it to me on Something Awful, and it's one of my favorite things now. You should play Mirror's Edge as one of your assignments. I love that game almost as much as your segment music. Cheers, chaps, and keep up the good work. Pip, pip, and all that. Mike.
I've heard good things about Mirror's Edge, except for the combat being kind of wedged in for no good purpose.
Really? I never felt like Mirror's Edge was a thing that I was interested in.
Hmm.
What about you, Kevin? I know that it's very easy for you to be interested in two entirely different things at the same time, like, say, sex with dudes and sex with ladies. So do you think you would enjoy a game that was both about platforming and not shooting?
Oh, yeah.
I don't really know what the two things are.
It's like parkour and...
Parkour and delivering things.
And shooting cops that are chasing you.
It's like Paperboy with no bicycle.
Is it yeah. first-person yes. parkour?
Yes.
And you have to run on all the red things?
What was that game where you were like skating on electrical wires?
Infamous.
Infamous. Yes. Yeah. That seemed kind of interesting.
It was moving around the... It was like, okay. It definitely passed the like... Are the basic operations of moving around the world fun? Because you grind on power lines, and who didn't spend their entire childhood imagining grinding on power lines?
Me.
Oh.
I did not imagine that even once.
And dry humping telephone poles.
Okay, I might have thought of that.
Okay. Phew.
At least once.
I was going to be afraid that you weren't a real human or something.
So we got several emails about, actually I'm going to read this one from Adam Lipkin. Hey guys, love the show. Only just got back into listening to podcasts after a few years and was pleased to hear about this show during the KOL podcast. I've got a couple of questions. One, I was disappointed that none of you commented on the story in Marathon 2. The terminals were a big part of what made the game exciting to me back when I first played it, and I know
that's
I'm not the
true.
Only person obsessed with the storyline in the series.
Yep.
See Marathon's story site, marathon.bungie.org/story. Did any of you have any thoughts on the story elements of the game instead of just the mechanics? I didn't experience enough of it because I didn't play...
Yeah, I only got through like the first 7 levels or so, and... I think I even missed one or two of the story segments because the level would end so fast, and so that was disappointing to me.
The first few paragraphs of the story were nothing special.
Yeah, I mean, like, the fact that it was interesting how stuff was unfolding, and, like, there was, I think on the last level that I was playing, there was some terminal that was, like, a message from something that was trying to talk to me that I didn't know anything about it. It was, like, some other entity...
Trying to talk to me. You eventually spoiler the spoiler AI.
Uh-huh.
and he talks kind of weird.
Okay. So like that was something, and like I wonder what's going on there. But yeah.
The Marathon story site is a good read if you want some internet to read to waste time from doing more important things. There's a lot of interesting stuff, and people have written articles about, you know, the implications of certain terminals compared to other terminals.
I only like doing important things though, Riff.
Oh.
Like finishing this email.
Was the story structured such that you could always get every piece of it, or was it like... Was it branching in any way, I guess, is my question?
Not in Marathon 2. I think the third one, Marathon Infinity, did have some levels that you could skip because some of the levels had more than one possible exit.
Okay.
But it's been a long time since I played Infinity.
I guess, but did that have any impact on what you would find or learn from other terminals in the future? Like, did they take the opportunity of possible level design where it was trivially available to them to have a terminal that was mutually exclusive from another terminal, and that could be just a branch in the story, and that could like lead you to different narrative conclusions?
No, I don't think so.
Interesting.
How was it trivial for them?
Because you could, if like the act of reading one terminal could lock a door that would prevent you from getting to another terminal. Right.
Okay.
I don't think that the maps could carry over variables that way. I don't know. Maybe I don't. Talking out of my butt. I don't know.
It's gross.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't sound bad. It just looks really bad.
It's a good thing they have that pop filter on there.
Yeah.
Remind us to not ever get mixed up as to whose mic is whose, because.
Done.
Second part of Adam's question. Are any of you guys fans of Cliff Johnson's classic puzzle games, Fool's Errand,
yes.
3 and 3, and have you pre-ordered A Fool and His Money? Did you
expect
that game
to
take longer than Duke Nukem Forever to get released? I never played any of them.
Yeah, I've not played them either.
The one I would recommend is 3 and 3, if you can find something that will play it. They're on his website. He'll let you download them for free and has instructions for how to get them to run on most platforms.
Huh.
I think I think it's a foolandhiserrand.com possibly, but it, I mean, if you Google for it, you'll find it. But 3 and 3 was my favorite of the series, and the Fool's Errand was also good. Yep.
Several people emailing us suggesting MUDs. A lot of people in the forums telling us MUDs that we ought to play. I started playing that one that's all based on a Nintendo ripoff properties.
How is it?
Like, I was enjoying it. If you use their client, it also has a bunch of chiptunes sound effects.
Oh, which
is like, so when you level up, it's like, you know, gives you the Dragon Warrior level up jangle and stuff. I mean, it's like, whatever. But then it also plays a sound every time somebody logs in or off.
So does it? It's been so long since I played one of those sorts of games. Does it play just like an interactive fiction game, or
like a MUD? Plays like a MUD.
Great.
What is the interaction like with other players?
I don't know. You chat out of character.
Okay.
By typing OOC. Although that might have just been, we were only talking about the OC, so that might be what that channel was for. Actually,
sure.
If I knew anything about the OC, I would make a
joke.
You
try to make a joke about it?
Yeah, but I don't.
I'm sure there's some sort of frat guy or like jock dude.
Do you think there's someone named Cameron? Cameron is dreamy. Maybe it's a girl. Maybe it's a girl named Cameron.
Oh, yeah.
Young people name their kids all kinds of crazy shit.
Like Nevaeh.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the most popular girls' names now. Just the word heaven backwards.
Except for it's misspelled.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Haven. So then maybe it's not supposed to be heaven backwards.
I
just assumed it was a typo when he told us that.
No.
Well, never mind. Yeah. You know, whatever. This is my daughter.
I mean, Leah is almost hell backwards, right?
Sure.
Hail, no.
This is my daughter, Leanne, which is just nail. Backwards. This is my daughter, Nails. Man, imagine if you gave your daughter a badass name like that. Spike Boobs.
I still think Felony would be a really awesome name for a girl.
Yeah, that's a really good name for your World of Warcraft characters.
Yeah.
Or no, not Felony. What was your
what's your underage
character's name?
What's
Yes, underage. I'm going to name my daughter Jailbait.
There was that driver's license. There was that license plate that we saw the other day that was on a Camaro. It was RU18YT.
Yeah, we already talked about that on another podcast.
Yeah.
I know. I'm such an asshole, Kevin. You and I need to do stuff right before the podcast. Like, oh man, we totally had
a taco
today. You had a taco.
It was delicious.
Fried ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Florin wrote in the forums, what is your favorite video game based on a movie? If your answer is Lego Star Wars, what's your second favorite? Lego Indiana Jones. Lego Pirates of the Caribbean.
Game based on a movie. Wow.
Lego Run Lola Run.
Oh, that would be great.
Lego...
That's weird because Run Lola Run was just based on the idea of video games. So.
Lego 7.
Whoa.
You have to put all the victims back together again.
Oh, Lego Requiem for a Dream.
I can't think of any movie tie-in games I've played other than Lego games.
I mean, I played...
Really? No.
You know,
I
like
mean,
the,
I know there's
the
a
Lucas
ton of
Arts,
them that have existed.
The LucasArts, like, Indiana Jones games.
But those weren't... Was there one that was... Oh, there was a Last Crusade.
Yeah, I never played that one, though.
Those were no good, I don't think.
I
Fate of Atlantis was good.
Too hard.
I enjoyed Last Crusade. I got kind of pissed at the near the end, but
wasn't there like a fist fighting mini game?
I don't remember.
No,
that.
Wait, I'm thinking of that Nine Inch Nails Broken game where there was a fist fucking mini game.
What about the Star Fucker one?
Yeah,
that was much more painful, I feel like.
Yeah, in order to get close enough,
right.
You would just evaporate.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was gross.
But it hurt.
I generally avoided movie tie-in games just as a matter of course.
Escape from Butcher Bay wasn't bad. It actually wasn't. Vin Diesel like started his own. My understanding of that story is that Vin Diesel didn't want a bad tie-in game, so he actually used his own money to fund the creation of a studio to make a good tie-in game.
I feel like there are a ton of
goddamn terrible movie.
There are a ton of movies based off like the notion of like a ton of games based off the like Space Marine game, which I feel like is Alien.
Sure, like Alien versus Predator 2, a first-person shooter, was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I really
The
really
Alien versus Predator notion was pretty cool. Like, playing through the game as the alien and then playing through the game as a predator, like, two totally different gameplay styles in the same, you know, map system just made the game, you know, doubly interesting, right? Because, like, as an alien, you could, like, walk on the ceilings and walls and stuff like that, and as a predator, you had, like, a bunch of different ways to look at the world with the different, like, visions and stuff like that. Like, that's...
Street Fighter, the movie, the game.
The novel. The breakfast cereal.
Yeah, it was, like, the novelization of Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. Where the movie was about people making a movie about Freddy, and then Freddy haunting them, and the book was about a guy writing a book about the people making a movie about the making of the movie.
The video game.
Yeah, and Freddy haunts the author.
Right.
Oh, the Goonies arcade game was fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Goonies that on was pretty Nintendo. Good. Yeah. It wasn't, like, I guess it was an arcade game. It was a Nintendo cartridge. It was just, it was only in the PlayChoice 10 machines.
Right.
I don't think
you
they ever
sold. You
couldn't
actually buy it, yeah.
Goonies 2 was good, too, but
I
it was not based on...
Goonies 2 was a Nintendo game, though, right?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
It's very similar to Goonies 1, except it had sort of Metroidvania elements.
Yeah.
Early on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It didn't have really an in-game map, I don't think. Maybe it did have an in-game map. I don't know. I don't remember.
It definitely had a map, but it might have been external.
There was like a two-sided map.
Yeah.
Which was crazy. I don't know. What other good E.T. for the Atari 2600?
that was a massive commercial success.
Not that bad of a game. I don't know what the fuck people thought other Atari games were like when they talk about
it. It is possible that it caused people to buy Ataris, and then they were like, what is this shit? And threw everything away.
Yeah. I mean, the problems that it had in my mind were that it was a very complicated game for the Atari, right? Like, it had a large number of game verbs, and it was very difficult to figure out how to play it without the manual, right? Because there were certain things that you would do, like the button did something different depending on where you were standing, and a lot of the times that was sort of random areas of the screen, it would do something different, but there were these icons at the top that told you what would happen if you hit the button then, right? And falling in holes wasn't fun, right? You had a limited amount of energy, and you would constantly accidentally fall in these fucking holes, and then you'd have to use a bunch of your energy to really boring and, you know, slowly, work your way out of the fucking hole, at which point you would often fall right back in because of where it put you down.
That
right,
sucks.
So, I mean, yeah, it was frustrating, but, like, it wasn't that bad of a game. There were so many worse Atari games than that. I don't even know, man. It was...
Does the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy game count?
Because
it wasn't a movie at the time.
No.
But it was a tie-in. It was
There have been plenty of games based on books, but we're talking about games based on movies.
Okay.
And the movies can be based on books.
100 Years of Solitude. 10,000 Years of Solitude? 1,000. Love in the Time of Cholera. .com.
I don't know where you're going.
Oregon Trail.
Yes.
It was based on a movie.
Yes.
Super Mario Brothers 3, which was based on the movie The Wizard.
Yes.
Did the Matrix games, were those interesting? Because that was theoretically a game which completed narratives from the movie, right?
I never heard anything good about it.
Yeah, I never played them myself. That was so fine.
Wasn't there only one? There was Enter the Matrix.
There's one, and then there was a MMO.
Yeah, that one could have been good, but I don't think it was. No. I think that the gameplay was not very fun.
Yeah.
But it had, like, you know, it had a really dedicated. There was an article on Massively about that recently. It had a pretty dedicated live team. Like, it was. The whole shtick with it was that it had, like, an ongoing story that went on for the entire time that the game existed, which wasn't very long.
I wonder if it was compelling for the people who did play it.
I don't know. I mean, there is no game so bad that there aren't some people who get really, really into it, right?
I don't know. How many shit soccer players do you know? None.
Hockey.
Yeah, fart hockey. I don't think you know any of them.
It's true.
So I think there are some games that are,
okay, so
bad.
There are some non-imaginary games.
How many people do you know that still play Atari for the ET?
Atari for the ET.
Yeah.
None.
Right. See?
That's like, right, because there's only one ET to plug that cartridge into.
Yeah, and he went home. He went back to his own planet.
You can call
so
him.
So only,
though.
You know, Frodo and Bilbo, who got to go with him on the white ships, get to play that now. Video game based off of, no.
Was there ever like a Last Starfighter video game?
That would have been awesome.
Right? Like, because it was, the movie was kind of like all video gamey, and even had a video game in the movie, and I don't know that I ever saw a game.
A lot of people in this forum thread arguing about, not even arguing, pretending that Zunes are a thing.
The MP3 player?
Yes. And then a lot of people talking about Commander Keen. I'm going to ignore this. Psyche says, oh my gosh, Kevin, do you remember anything else about the mechanics of that LARP with the psychics and the name tags with numbers and so on? I would love to recreate it or something like it and have a party to play it. You'd be invited, of course.
It was like 50 people at a playthrough. It was not small, and like the mechanics were otherwise pretty standard for LARPs at the time. It was just, you know, like, you had hit points that were like combat mechanics. There were like objects hidden in the world that you would like go and find that were actually just like envelopes taped under desks and stuff like that. Like that was sort of the most compelling mechanic that I recall from it. And as far as I know, it's not published anywhere. Like, I know the guy who wrote it. I could potentially like try to get him to look and see if he had all the notes and stuff like that.
I would actually be interested to read that myself.
Okay. I will email him and see what he has to say. He actually was one of the people that that provided insight on planetary motions for potential future games that we're thinking about making, like ring worlds and tide locked stuff and stuff.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Florin says, I want to hear about them playing Master of Orion 2. I played the fuck out of that in college. Boy, I played a lot of Master of Orion 2.
I played it for many months.
Yeah.
And enjoyed it a lot.
I don't know about doing that as an assignment. You know, I mean, I guess I also played just as much Master of Magic, and that as an assignment was fun, because then I could just yell at you guys for not liking Master of Magic enough.
I liked it.
Sure
enough.
You did.
I didn't.
I get confused between Master of Orion and what's the other one? Is that's not the same thing as Urquan Masters? Is it?
To prevent war, the galaxy is on Orion's belt.
What?
Two.
What?
You know. Will Smith teaches typing.
Okay. So what game is Urquan Masters?
That is Star Control 2.
Star Control 2. Okay. Yeah. So, but they're similar games, but not...
Master of Orion is very similar to Master of Magic.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh.
Except in space.
It's in space.
Okay.
Yeah. It's cool. It is a much more modern and much more, well, I say that it's, you know, it's been 10 or 15 years since I played it. It was, I remember it being very compelling. It was a lot of fun. I have no idea how I would stand up.
Which one?
Master of Orion.
See, now's my turn to not pay attention to you. I tried to play the first one.
Yeah.
After years of playing the second one, and I couldn't deal with it. The amount of information that was presented on the screen. Were you just making blowjob motions?
No.
Oh.
My hand is sore, so I was licking it.
I thought you were doing that thing where you stick your tongue out your cheek and pretend like, which I've never really understood that whole blowjob miming thing, because have you ever gotten a blowjob like that where you, where your dick was out in the cheek? Like,
I have never.
That sounds dangerous.
Don't do that. I believe that has happened in the history of blowjobs, though. So I don't know.
Okay, but it's certainly not typical enough that should be the go-to motion for...
It is a way to indicate that something is in your mouth with mime, right?
Well, I mean, what I do whenever I want to make a little pantomime blowjob joke is I just grab a kielbasa.
Or that's a
not,
nearby
that,
dude.
That is not mime. I don't think you understand what miming is. Uh-huh. This is why you're so bad at mime games.
Yeah, yeah.
Mimecraft is
world
just
of, world of Mimecraft. I'm like, how do I play this without like 50 kielbasas? Like, this should come with a lifetime supply of kielbasas if they want people to actually play it.
Yeah, I need a bunch of glass boxes. I need some kielbasas. Yeah, it's not good.
RNG He Hate Me says, as your game replay segment, you should really play Wasteland. Fuck Fallout. This is the real progenitor. Go drink some snake squeezins, get some space herpes, kill Darwin, and explode some blood sausages.
I tried playing it once, but it just seemed incomprehensible.
It's so hard.
It is hard.
It's super, even if you know what you're doing,
it's super good.
Super, super hard. Yeah, but I don't think I can ever play that game. Like, I don't think that I can ever have that experience because I didn't have it.
I remember it wasn't
the difficulty that stopped me so much as just what's going on. What do the things on the screen represent, and what am I supposed to do?
In my mind, I have sort of the same fondness for that as I do with BattleTech Crescent Hawk Inception, which I went back and tried to play again recently, and it was not as exciting.
So did I, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, these worlds where you can just go anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it was super cool. I loved building these mechs, and like, there was a way in the initial fight in that to actually like keep the mech that you were supposed to just get like lose and get destroyed in the, because like it was like this totally unfair fight. But you could keep it if you like played really, really well, and then you could like just totally pwn over the rest of the game because you had this really awesome mech.
I remember at a place that I worked, this guy that I worked with had saw me playing Wasteland just like at work. I don't know what the fuck I was doing, but he was like, "Oh, check this out!" And he like took control and went into this place and was like, "Oh yeah, if you go to this square here and then use the climbing skill, you can move through this wall, and then on the other side of this wall there's like a treasure chest, that's the only way that you can get to it is if you happen to notice that there's like vines on this wall or whatever."
Whoa.
I was like, all right, I can see it being cool that the game is full of stuff like that, but like, I don't know, it would be kind of like, so I feel like we will eventually play Might and Magic 3 mm-hmm. as an assignment. I'm gonna make you guys do that. But I would not make you play Might and Magic 1, because without...
Because they refined it so much.
They learned so much between like 1987 and 1993. They learned so much about how to make the controls for video games work on a computer.
Like they stopped requiring you to just hit the keyboard with your fist over and over again.
There was a mouse. For instance,
yeah, the idea that a mouse was not a universal thing is still like, I don't even remember those years, right? Like, like I think of a mouse as being like just inherent to a computer, and like looking back, I was like, oh yeah, like the first computer I had totally didn't have one.
Yeah, I mean I had a Commodore VIC-20, and that didn't have a mouse. But then when 1984 happened and the Mac came out, I had a Mac. And
Did the VIC-20 have was it a tape drive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember saving stuff.
Also had
tape.
Cartridges, but yeah.
Man, tapes were such a pain in the ass to like to save and load on.
They were cool to listen to.
Sure.
Zabeeping and hissing.
Zabeeping.
Mm-hmm. That voice that told you to kill your cousin. It's awesome.
Yep.
The Awesome Atherist says, did you guys get a chance to participate in the Portal 2 ARG? It was fun, fun, fun. I've never participated in any ARG.
Yeah, no, I...
You could be doing it right now. You don't even know.
I would go back to their wiki and read about what had happened every now and then. It was interesting. I played a little bit of the Portal 2-related DLC for Amnesia, and that was interesting.
I read an article about like the corporate culture at Valve. And it made me wonder whether they just have a bunch of like multidisciplinary like smart people there, and so they like came up with a bunch of ways to do this, or whether they actually like hired people to make all these puzzles and hide stuff in games and stuff like. And I wonder which direction they went with that.
No, I feel like you could certainly get enough talent in that company to pull something like that
off. Oh yeah, sure. I'm just wondering like where did because like this was a serious thing, and I wonder where did the manpower come from to do this, right? Were people pulled off of other tasks, or did they do this in their spare time? Like who masterminded this, or was it even internal to Valve? Did they like outsource it or something, you know? I don't know. I'm curious how, I'm curious what the back end structure for this thing was.
Did you met
Jane McGonigal,
Jerry O'Connell at a wedding once?
I met Jane McGonigal at a wedding. Yeah.
Did she have anything to do with the Portal stuff?
I don't know. I don't think so. She's got her own.
She's more
company
about like
now.
Shit out in the world, right?
She, yeah, definitely. That's definitely been her focus lately. She's got a website now called, I think, Social Chocolate or something, which is definitely like trying to like embed stuff in the world. She's doing this. She did this thing, or she's doing this thing in the New York Public Library where they like raffled off like 500 tickets or 50 tickets or something like that to spend a night in the library. And there's like this cool like murder mystery thing that happens in the New York Public Library overnight. You're like trapped in there with all these other people.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be awesome. I don't know how she like pulls that off, because like I don't think that's something that they would normally let anybody do.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not like it seems like you could do a bunch of cool stuff given spaces like that. But trying to embed that in a way that like everybody in the world can play, like I don't know how you know you have geocaching, right, which is like a localized game in the world,
but you can't count on that.
You
I
can't
mean,
count
we,
on those
we
things,
found like
exactly.
When we did a scavenger hunt out in the world, like a fairly high production value scavenger hunt for like a team building exercise for a friend of mine's group at work. And that was for like 50 people or 60?
About
50-ish,
yeah.
But it took like 8 of us to run it because we couldn't rely on if we left a pile of something somewhere.
It like, being there, yeah.
It's one thing if you're like putting something out there for somebody to discover and only one person needs to discover it and then people have to pool their resources to solve some big puzzle or whatever. But if it's like a thing where this thing is meant to be experienced by more than one person, then it gets a lot more complicated to like leave things out in the world, because if one person can fuck up the game for the other person, like that fucking slave hack game, it was that browser game that was about like the sort of, you know, Netrunner style taking control of systems and using those resources to make money to buy better software to make it so you can take advantage of more systems and stuff. But like it was very open, and there were a handful of servers that were sort of meant to be the tutorial. They were meant to be like easy enough that you could at low level hack them, use their resources to get some shit so that you could get into the game proper, but people would constantly ruin them so that you couldn't use them. And they had some kind of mechanism to reset them like every 12 hours so that you couldn't permanently lock people out of being able to play the game at low levels.
But people would just
do it every time it came up. And it was like, you know, that like I get that this is like, oh, this is all like a simulation of like Wild West cyber sphere hacker space. But fuck you. Like, this is why I don't hang out with those assholes in real life.
So what you want is some sort of Emancipation Proclamation hacked game that frees all the slave hack people.
Yes.
There is a, I saw somewhere, possibly Metafilter, there is a big scavenger hunt where one of the items that the teams had to provide was to remix Disney's The Lion King into a thing that summarized every season of The Wire. They posted the best one of them on YouTube or whatever.
Huh.
It was pretty crazy.
So multiple people did that.
Yeah, it was like however many people were on a team.
AFN33282 says, best scrolling shooter ever? I nominate Zanac. Zanac was pretty good. I remember there being a lot of different weapons, and I remember it being, it was like a kind of a procedurally generated bullet hell.
Oh, okay.
Game, right? There were these...
I was thinking side-scrolling. Kind of.
There were these, like, scout... I don't know exactly how this worked. I would kind of like to look this up and learn about it. There were these things that in the manual warned you, don't let these guys get away. Like, if these guys come on screen, they won't attack you, but if you don't blow them up before they leave the screen, it will get a lot harder. The game will get harder. More enemies will start to spawn. Or whatever, and I feel like it'd be pretty easy to do that, but I never really noticed all about. Looking back on it, it doesn't seem like it was actually that good, but I really enjoyed playing it. I played it a lot.
There's an iPhone app that's a procedurally generated bullet hell sort of scrolling shooter game called Phoenix, which is pretty interesting.
Objection.
yeah, It has a difficulty rating that, like, as you are surviving and doing better and better, your rating goes up and the game gets more difficult. But as you take hits, your rating goes down and the game gets easier.
Huh.
So, like, it theoretically self-regulates. It's the granularity on that isn't super noticeable, but the idea of it's really clever, I think. But yeah,
at some point though, you end up with Oblivion, right? Where the fact that the game constantly, although, you know, getting more challenging according to your skill, it's easier in a game that's skill based as opposed to based on numbers, right? Like,
sure, yeah, no, I mean, but yeah, the game, you also are continually powering up, so you're getting more and more powerful, so they can make it more challenging, and you're better able to survive at the same skill level. So it's kind of interesting. You know, I played it a dozen times and, like, enjoyed it, but it did not capture my interest. I feel like what comes to mind is 1492, but that's not right. It's the game where you're, like, the airplane, and it's a year.
1942. Yeah, the game where you're dyslexic. You have three airplanes, 1492. The Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
That was like a fun, you know, scrolling shooter game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't even remember.
Raiden 3, I think, in the arcade was a good one.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, some of those were, like, they were just pretty simple, but, like, yeah, pretty, but good, satisfying.
You know, good games that were like that.
Yeah.
A lot of power-ups.
Yeah.
I like to power up.
Yeah.
Losing all your power-ups on death, very, very dissatisfying.
In later games, I feel like they started shitting out the power-ups again for your next guy to pick up, like, three quarters of them.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Whatever. And that was, I thought, a good compromise.
Yeah.
And it was also, like, it was a really powerful incentive to put another quarter in.
Yeah.
Because all those power-ups are just floating there, and you're like, oh, I can pick those up. I want that. It's got a blue border around it. It says POW. Yeah. I want it. It's got a bullet on it, and I want it.
Yep.
And then you're like, yep, can I have another quarter? And then your dad's like, fuck you. Get me another beer. And we're like, wait, but we're at the arcade. He's like, you heard me. Then you gotta walk home. Get a beer out of the fridge, bring it back to the arcade.
And by that time, you know, the game's rebooted. Yeah, the game's rebooted.
It's counted down to at least four.
You only have 10 seconds to do it all. So you guys heard those reader mail questions. You know how you hear your name in lights?
How?
On this marquee?
Tell us.
Send us $10,000.
Unmarked bills. What does that even mean?
Unmarked bills?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
So, I mean, marked bills are, like, things that have been noted so that they know that they're being used in some sort of, like, drug sting operation or something like that. Unmarked bills means that they are pristine.
Why would you, as a shady dealsman, specify that? Like, I want $10,000 in unmarked bills.
Yeah.
Also, I don't want contact poison on the bag that you hand me the bills in.
Right.
I want no snipers shooting me in the head during the exchange.
Sure.
And right? A football helmet filled with cottage cheese.
It lets the person that you're negotiating with for your hostages know that you know what a marked bill is, theoretically.
But I don't. I know to ask for unmarked bills, but I don't know what a marked bill is. So I'm just an easy mark for them. I'm a sucker.
Yeah, it's no.
You have to
no
also ask for
German
non-sequentially numbered,
unmarked Wahlbergs.
Yep,
I didn't know about the unsequentially numbered bills.
That's one. That's when I hear on that sort of TV show once in a while.
Columbo.
But I've often gotten bills that have a marker note in one portion of it or whatever. If you take a stack of bills and you just like ran a marker along the side of them, those would all be marked, and then you would know. If a bunch of those got spent in a particular place and, like, turned into a bank, right? Like, okay. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but I'm saying, why do you specify that? Like, I would, like, I want $10,000 that is not just a bomb in the shape of $10,000. Right? That's what I'm saying. Like, it should go without saying that I want you to give me $10,000 and not put me in jail. So anything that you would do with this $10,000 that would result in me going to jail, don't do that, buddy.
Right, but so let's say they give you the $10,000 and it's marked. You're like, I'm gonna have to send this back because you marked it. I can tell that you marked it.
And now they're gonna spit in it.
Yeah.
All right. So
this $10,000 is raw.
We want clean money.
then I can't recommend the 20s.
Yeah. So you can find us on Twitter at VG Hot Dog, at VG Hot Dog, at VG Hot Dog.
Why'd you say it twice?
You can find us on Gmail at vghotdog@gmail.com. You can find us at videogameshotdog.com. You can find us on this podcast. You can find links to, you could just yell and maybe we'll hear you.
All of these things are available on our website.
Videogameshotdog.com.
Okay. I feel like that is an excellent way to summarize it, because I feel like most people have the internets that are listening to this.
Now, listen, that you got to list all of the ways so that each one of those ways will convince one person will be listening and think, Twitter, I know what that is.
Couldn't they also mail us? Couldn't they also send us something in the postal mail?
They could, but I can never remember the zip code.
85202.
No, that's not it. There's a separate zip code for the P.O. box.
Is there?
There is.
Do you use the same P.O. box for Advice Hot Dog?
Yes.
Then we've got one of those business cards.
Oh, yeah? But this isn't going to last long enough for you to go get it.
Okay.
It's time to say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
Have a great weekend.